Kid. My name is Captain Joy, and this is me pressure groove. My game is peaceful progress, and this me will can do.
Greetings, Xenophiles. That was The Spirit of the Bliss from a band called Jamalot. Now, for no reason at all, I'd play it. Just it popped into my head this morning. Yeah, I have this on a VHS tape from 1987 from a TV show in the UK. That's why the audio quality wasn't very good. But it was never released, which is a shame because I think it's great. A band called Jamalot. It was a video they made for a competition, which they didn't win. But everybody liked it, so they played it anyway. On this day in 1811, the entire nation of Austria was declared bankrupt. A whole nation. Bankrupt. Financially bankrupt, of course, not morally bankrupt, because that's the United States now. And this day in 1959, Jimi Hendrix played his first gig ever in the Temple de Hirsch Synagogue in Seattle. He was instantly fired from the band because his playing was considered too wild. They missed out on a trick there. Happy birthday to Cindy Crawford, who's 59 today, and to Kurt Cobain, who should have been 58. And for the kids out there, Olivia Rodrigo is 22 today. Who's she? Some kids apparently know who she is. Never mind. Nothing else happened on this day, so let's crack on. Our guest, if you heard before, at Bogdan's show, we have another French guest. We have Marion Saliba. Now, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Oh, perfectly correct.
Oh, very good. I'm getting better at this. You fought through the snow and you brought your guitar, and if the audience is on their best behaviour, you might play live.
I may.
Yeah, but we'll check.
Maybe even in French.
Oh. just call me Gomez Adams. Some people will know what that means. So we're going to do the story in the usual four chapters, but with a slight difference, because some of the songs you pick, you're going to play them for us. Not all of them, two of them. That's good. So let's get cracking. The usual way we do it. Before we start, we'll give you the hardest question of the night. Marion Saliba. Who do you think you are?
Oh, that is the question.
Yeah. They get easier after this one.
I am a mix of a lot of things, from mainly made from emotion.
Uh-huh.
So a part of them I will try to pass you tonight.
Yes, and a mix of many things. That pretty much sums it up. From what I've read of your story so now.
Yes.
You've summed it up very nicely. Let's start the story at the beginning as we...
Expat Life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
So as the man said, you were born in France, right? But where? You don't have to tell us when. That's not allowed. It's not
I can even do that. I'm just half old. I'm born next to Lyon in a little village. We call it in France the empty diagonal. So it's really countryside.
All right.
Yes.
The empty diagonal.
It's more or less in the middle of France.
So sort of a small village?
It's a town.
A town?
Mm-hmm. I'm still born in a hospital.
Ah, okay. What's the town called? I was near Lyon.
Rouen.
No, don't remember.
You pass by Rouen when you go to ski, usually.
Yeah.
But beside that, there is as well a very well-known 4-star restaurant, Trois Gros.
Ah, all right.
Beside that, yes, we are pretty much in the Ville Diagonale. But it's a very pretty city, I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you feel like you were living in a town, or did you feel like, were you trees or concrete?
No, I was living between the... and I was born in another village that is even more in the mountain, that is surrounded by fields and cow and wire.
Yeah, and sheep. Yeah. You said in your notes that you if your ancestors weren't from the village, you were considered a stranger, right?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Yeah, that feel that you always feel stranger. My mom is French. My dad is French too, but he's born in Algeria.
Uh-huh.
So obviously, no, a lot of my ancestors were not from the village.
Right.
And yes, I felt stranger until I left.
And then you were stranger everywhere.
Yeah, and pretty much I am now stranger. I think that was a sign. I should have listened to it when I was a child.
Were you part of a big family? Did you have to fight for attention, or were you the golden girl?
No, I think we are three kids, but we had enough attention from my parents that were very... taking care of us. So,
where do you come in the sequence? Are you the oldest, the youngest, the middle?
I am the oldest.
Ah, uh-huh, okay.
Big sister.
Ah, so you kept the discipline from the youngsters, right?
Yeah, with authoritarianism.
And what were your parents doing? I mean, how did they fill their days? What was their occupation?
My mom was a German and French teacher, and my dad had many jobs. And at the end of his professional life, he was a theater director.
Oh.
So, yeah, everyone pretty much in the artistic field, actually.
Right.
My mom playing music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad felt that he is really into theater, but he's unable to clap on the time. We were all of us trying to teach for 40 years, but we never managed.
So maybe acting, but not so much the music.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Painting too, but no music. But everyone has his own skills.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, but it was all basically art. So you felt? Did you feel like you were living in a sort of bohemian family, or did you not notice that?
I didn't notice until very late.
Right. And then I've been missing out on all this fun. Wow. So school, what about school? Were you good at it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I was good. I was a good student. I was liking. I was doing what I should do. Until.
Oh, so you were very, very obedient and disciplined,
I was very disciplined until very late.
Ah, now this is a common story. What was the trigger to stop you being good at school? Other distractions?
No, until
boys and
until
booze,
the
right?
end, until the end of school, I was I was kind of stopping at one point, but I was still having my diploma. Like we say, like a autoroute.
Right. So like a straight A student, as we say.
Zé
la ligne.
Yeah, exactly. I think I started to assume my bohemian way after living in Romania and after meeting my husband. I think that that is the apogee of the...
It's either Romania does that to you or maybe husbands do that to you.
Yes, but I think I choose because I need it.
Ah, right.
They don't do. I think you choose because you choose what you need.
Mm-hmm. Even unconsciously, you do it, right?
I think was pretty conscious. Okay, I was falling in love with Bucharest, you know, by... Yeah. It was 12 years ago. And when I was walking in Lipscan at this point, it was not all the fancy mm-hmm. and nice restaurant. I just remember a big hole in the street and electric wires everywhere. Uh-huh. And by seeing that, I was just falling in love. I mean, for me, it was a nice... cute mess, full of life. Yeah, but you understand?
Yeah.
It's like you come from something that is all predictable to something that is more alive, actually. That was my feeling, to feel alive. Right. And it's the same when I met my husband. I think I was feeling the life.
Okay.
I was attracted by life.
good. And when you were, let's say, going through your high school, at that point in everyone's life when they think, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor, lawyer, astronaut.
Nothing. I don't remember what I was dreaming. I tell you, I think I was just doing what people were expecting. Only much later I realized I had some dreams.
Right.
Very late.
Yeah.
But it's better to realize at that point.
At least you have them.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you're more capable of achieving them.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. At school, did you favor once? Were you sort of sciences? I guess you were arts, of course, but
No, I was not at all, actually.
No?
I was still playing music because I play since I'm five. But
What was the first instrument you picked up?
Was guitar. Is my first instrument.
Age five.
At five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe six. Maybe I was six. Yeah.
Full size one, or did they get the little tiny one?
No, full size. But I didn't even reach the
the end, of it.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, we were not really using, I think, a little guitar, ergonomic like we use now for the kids.
Okay.
But I was very bad in painting. I was loving mathematics. I was science.
Right.
I was really science.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you started playing music with your brothers? You formed kind of band? At what age was that?
So I think our first concert, I was 12, my the middle, Pierre, was 10. And I think the little one was 8.
Do you like the Osmonds?
And I was leading very authoritarian. So after a few years, they were deciding to stop.
But musical differences, that's what they always say, isn't it?
It's bad because they are brilliant musicians, both of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You should bring them along, you should do a gig with them.
We still do sometime.
Right.
We still do.
Uh-huh. Talking about music, it's already time for your first piece. Chris Isaac.
Yeah, Chris Isaac.
Yeah, why this particular Chris Isaac track, Blue Spanish Sky? Why did you choose this?
I find it absolutely beautiful.
That's all?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's simple.
So we don't need to say anything else. Neither talk over it. Let's just hear it.
Watching a blue
Expat Life with Marion Saliba. Now, as you said, you were going through your high school years and not knowing, not you don't remember what you wanted to do. You didn't have any plans, but when you finished school, you went to study something.
Yes.
What did you study and why did you choose what you chose?
I chose to be engineer because it was sounding to be the most...
From the mathematics general, and all that.
Yeah, from the mathematics. Yeah. And as well because I was thinking, because I don't know what to do, by taking something the most general possible, maybe I will figure out by the end.
Right.
And then I had to choose a speciality, but I was still not knowing. And I was thinking I will choose logistic because I do a bit of everything, IT and mechanic and everything. Mm-hmm. And again, I was thinking maybe in 3 years I will know what I want to do. And then I finished logistic and I still didn't know what to do.
So where did you study?
INSA is... is a school in Lyon, inside Lyon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you got your diploma, and it's, now what do I do?
So again, I was not knowing. I went to Paris because I was offered a job in Paris. Mm-hmm. I was starting consulting, and then I was offered a job in a big corporation. I was just taking it too. Mm-hmm. At that point, I think it was changing. Because I always wanted to visit Romania.
Right.
But I didn't want it just to do tourism. I wanted to have something to do there. And this company was opening a subsidiary. Mm-hmm. In Bucharest.
And this was before or after you went to the UK to do the software?
That was after. So, I first went to the UK. I was not knowing how to program, and I was taking a book with me and doing it.
This part would surprise me because you wrote some notes and you said you started as a software developer, but you didn't know how to do it.
No, I was accepting the job, but I was thinking I will figure out.
Yeah. And you figured it out?
Yeah, I was doing it. They were keeping it. It was a little company in Bristol, and they were copying. What mm-hmm. I developed 10 years, and after they bought SAP. I don't know if you know.
I know SAP. Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
So when I understood that they were replacing my little stuff, Access by SAP, I was kind of proud.
Well, yeah, because from Access to SAP, that's a leap.
Yeah, but I was spending 6 months coding.
That's like going from a Dacia Spring to a Maserati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. But okay, and it lasted 10 years.
Yeah, it lasted 10 years.
I never put Access database.
It was robust.
Yeah, I put a few Access databases in, but none of them lasted 10 years. Bravo. You're better than me. And it was in Bristol that you found yourself playing live in bars?
Yes, of course. In Bristol is everywhere. So actually, that was, I think, the main point to go in Bristol. I think
it has a music scene, though, doesn't it? Really?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and planning pretty much every night.
Yeah. Just for the fun of it? to top up you, give you some pocket money?
No, beer.
Okay, beer. I was just playing for the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And at what point did you find yourself in India?
That was after. Oh, right. It was before? I cannot remember. No, I think it was before UK. I was not talking English at this point, and I had to do a kind of work during the summer. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to work for an association to do humanitarian work, but right. No one would recruit me for 2 months. So I was creating my own association to be able
to... Wow, you're determined, that's it.
And I was going in India to... we were with... after it was a group of guys coming with us. And the guy were constructing the orphanage and me, it was too warm and I couldn't handle. I was just teaching English to the kids, but I was not knowing really English. So
I see a pattern developing. You started writing software, but you didn't know how to do it. You went teaching English to Indian kids without knowing how to speak. But how did you learn English?
I was having some basics, actually. Mm-hmm. The kids were not talking at all. And after the lessons, there was nothing too much to do. There was a little library, just a dolap with some mm-hmm. books there.
Right.
And I was starting with some kids' books. I was finishing all mm-hmm. the little kids' books for 5 years old, 6 years old.
Right.
And the only thing that was remaining was Harry Potter. But yes. But I was not, the first 10 page, I think I was looking in the dictionary every 2 words. It was, and at one point I was, because I had nothing else to do, so I was catching English. Like
right. So what's your favorite Harry Potter book?
I cannot say that. Oh. I think I liked all of them.
Yeah.
But they go darker and darker.
They do, and they get thicker and thicker, more and more pages. Yeah. I think I got as far as the fourth one, and I haven't read the rest.
No, I read everything. In English.
Yeah?
I kept on reading them all in English.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who's your favourite character?
Snape.
Wow! I wasn't expecting that. Okay. So you did India, yeah, and you teaching, and then you came to the UK to do the software.
Yes.
And...
Oh, then wait, I have a new one.
Tell me.
So I was coming here to do the offshoring of some job. Mm-hmm. And when I landed in Bucharest, I thought I want to stay here. Well, I pass you all the detail. I was managing to stay here and to find a job, but the only job open was a finance director. But me, I was engineer. I had no idea about accounting.
Yeah,
but I was taking it.
Numbers are numbers, right?
I was buying a book and I was learning accounting from a book too.
Wait a second. Now, I can understand being hired as, let's say, maybe a junior accountant or a bookkeeper and learning it, you know, just the day before. But being hired as finance director...
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's an incredible story. and this was here. This was the first time you came to Romania.
Absolutely.
But not, this was not with the big bank, right? This was the smaller thing. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. What I want to do now is play your live piece of music. But before that, so you've got time to set up, I think we'll cut early to the commercial break. And while that's playing, you can go and sit over there.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. So bear with us and we'll be with you in the other side of this commercial break just as soon as I can press this button here.
Expat Life. Xenophiles, welcome.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
And we're back. Now then, while those nice words were coming from our sponsors. Marion sat on another chair now. She sat over there. Let me turn on that microphone there. And we should be able to hear you now sitting there with your guitar ready to go.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Yes. That's quite some reverb going there. So you're going to play a song that you composed?
Yes.
Tell me the story.
So it's a pretty old song, actually. When I met my husband, we reconstituted a family, basically. And that was, like in all the family that you have to rebuild, mm-hmm. is a lot of work. I was talking about emotion before. So right. It was a lot of emotion, me having difficulty to integrate, mm-hmm. And him feeling guilty, actually, feeling as well split between his own kids and me. And this is about... This is about that.
Okay, and it's called Mouse.
It's called Mouse.
Okay, let's hear it.
Just a little sun mouse hiding in a little dirty place to scream. It's crazy what this little thing can all make you feel so guilty. Just a little sun mouse hiding in a little dirty place to scream. It's crazy what this little thing can all make you feel so guilty.
You just heard Marion Saliba with Mouse. Excellent, excellent. Would you like to come and sit over back in this chair and we'll continue our little chat? Yeah, and we can... while she's moving over, this is going to talk about the next part, which is the... This is the chaotic, quixotic, exotic part. We talk about what brought Marion to Romania permanently, let's say, or at least long-term. Now, you already spoke about how you... came here to take a finance director's job, even though you didn't know about finance. And then, so did you then go away and come back, or did that, was that your first, did you stay here ever since?
No, I had to, I was coming first to create this company, mm-hmm. and I had to fight to have the job, which is understandable.
Yes.
But I'm learning quick and I succeed.
Yeah.
And I was just expat, so it's like a standard 5 years contract. But when arrived the time to come back home, I was always thinking I would come back in France.
Right.
But I was unable to. Actually, this is my home, mm-hmm. and that Romania has been since the first day.
You just felt it when you landed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt, it's very strange, huh? To feel home when you arrive in Otopen.
Yeah.
It's something total.
I mean, it happens to me now. Every time the wheels touch the ground at Otopen, I'm home.
Yeah, but even the first time?
Not the first time, no.
Yeah,
no.
Me the first time.
Took me a few months. only. But yeah. But you came here on the full expat package, staying in Primavera and doing what expats did, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And,
yeah, exactly.
But you changed your style after that, right?
Yes.
Because that's not for you.
I was going to my style, actually. Yeah. That was not really my my way.
So when you're 5 years, so you came, you spent your 5 years with, this was the big French bank that we're not allowed to mention, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're not going to mention the name of the bank, yeah. But I will say that three of its members have been on this show before. There's a clue. Now, only people who are paying attention will be able to guess now. So at the end of your 5 years, basically you were supposed to either go back to France or quit. Or what was, how did you, what was the story?
I don't know. I was supposed to go back in France. Yeah. At this point, I was meeting Marius and I was pregnant. So I was doing a break for give birth.
So Marius comes up a few times in this story. Now, at what point was it, you mentioned when you first touched down in Hautepin, you felt home, right?
Yes.
When you first met Marius, was it like this?
Yes.
Really?
That was exactly like this. Actually, I never made the parallel. This is true.
Yeah? Okay, sorry, go on.
Okay, we can stop there.
Yes, okay.
The lyre and the harps, although that is pretty much the case. I think he would like to go back to France, but I'm pretty much unable to come back. So we stayed, and we will probably stay longer.
Right, and so you were free of the corporate life. So what did you do instead? You had a break.
We were both dismissing from our corporate job. Mm-hmm. Enfin, I was half dismissing because I'm back part time, but that is a little story. We were creating an art school. So he's theater actor.
Yeah.
And being musician, and I'm in between, I was learning how to paint too. And so we were thinking, okay, three art, just let's open something that.
Right.
Helping us to take these skills.
So when did you open the art school and where? And what was it called?
So it's called Casa Cuarte. It is between Gare de Nord and Eroelor. And we opened it in 2018, I think. So 6 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And it survived the pandemic?
It survived the pandemic.
Yeah.
Hardly.
It was tricky. So what do you teach children, grown-ups, and what do you teach, and to whom?
Whoever wants to learn art. The thing is not who we teach, is how we teach. That is the question.
What makes it different? Tell me.
So Maïs has a diploma of Waldorf. He's a teacher of teacher, mm-hmm. teacher of Waldorf teacher.
Right.
And he teach me how to teach. And we use a very soft pedagogy, so is in the same line than Montessori, Waldorf, something like
that.
So this is the of course it can apply to adult too.
Mm-hmm. And it's still successful and going.
It's still going.
So how many students do you have at any one time?
Per year, I have. I have between 10 and 20, mm-hmm. depend of the year, and it depends how many teachers we have. That is very moving from one year to the other. Mm-hmm. So there is not before the pandemic we were having much more, and after we really decrease, and we just have our core skills.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And you teach. You teach also guitar, you said?
I teach guitar. I was learning piano in between, so I'm teaching piano. I was learning a bit of drum, so I'm teaching a bit of drum.
I'm seeing this pattern. You learn something and the next day you either do it or teach it.
Yeah.
That's quite a skill. Yeah. And apart from that, I mean, alongside that, you're out still gigging. I mean, you started the gigging in with your brothers, and then you kept it up in Bristol. And now here we see you. This is how I first saw you, right? You were standing behind your guitar in Zadar.
In Zadar, yeah.
And making some beautiful sounds.
Yeah.
And so tell me about how you got into the gigging here, and who do you gig with, where do you go, what do you play?
It took me pretty much time to find people to play with. I have a big chance that I met Juan Carlo Negretti.
Juan, is he?
Exceptional,
yes.
Percussionist.
I want this guy to come on the show, but he doesn't want to do it because he thinks
maybe
his
next
English
time.
Is not good enough.
Maybe next time. Yeah. We'll manage, I'm sure.
Juan, oh, he's not listening. He's probably...
No, he's playing.
Yes, he's playing live, right? So.
He's playing live now. And we play... Actually, we play next Saturday in Zadar.
So next Saturday, the day after tomorrow?
The day after tomorrow, words, yeah, 22nd of February.
Tell me, what are you going to play? And is there a special thing you're doing, or are you just getting together to jam?
No. We have a set. So mainly they are my compo.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to work on some antique music. It's another separate project that I have as well with Maus that is playing in a theater troupe called the theater troupe. I don't know how we say in English.
Yeah,
it's called Logos.
Yeah.
And the particularity is one of the pieces that they mounted is Iliad from Homer, but in an antique way.
Oh, okay.
So you have the feeling that you see the piece, how it was initially played more than 2,000 years ago. For that, I accompany them as well with music.
Yeah.
So I was beginning to learn a bit antique music, and one of the pièces that we'll play Saturday is the oldest song of humanity.
What?
Yeah, the oldest song of humanity that is written without ambiguity. Sorry, I need to say that because there is a lot of other older song, but they are other lyrics are missing, or
right.
Some notes or some rhythm is missing. Here you have everything. You have the lyrics talking about life. Is a beautiful song. It's called Secolos Epitaph.
Right.
You have the music, you have the note, the rhythm, and that we will play an interpretation on Saturday with a saz. So I will be playing with a saz, which is a Turkish instrument, you know, a very long...
Oh, right, that's like a guitar with a few strings and a very long neck.
Seven strings, extremely long neck.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you can play that too.
Yeah. And we'll play an interpretation of this very old, the oldest song known... Without ambiguity, so that is the feeling that you have the feeling to play something that was exactly like it was played
2,000 years ago.
2,200 years ago.
Before Christ, even. Wow. I wish I was there. I'm not going to be in town, which is a terrible shame. I hope you do it again sometime soon so I can be there to witness it.
I'm sure we'll.
Yeah? Okay. What I want to do now, because you want to play another piece of music, right, is I'm going to hit... commercial break again while you go and set up, and then we'll come out the other side of this with Marion playing us live again. So
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania, heard all over the world.
And we're back, and it's time for Marion to play us live again. So tell us what you're going to play and why did you choose this one, because it's something quite special.
Yes. So this second song is, I want to say a cover, but is a song that was written during the Second World War in 1943 by some guys in London to... They wanted initially a generic, you know, like you have the jingle in the radio, mm-hmm. but it was a very specific radio. Oh my God, we are in Radio Guerrilla. It goes so good with that. I didn't thought about that. It was for the war,
right.
And it was for the radio, for the resistance.
Aha.
And they needed a song that the people would recognize to be able to connect to it. And discover that by singing this song, dun, 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 it was passing the brouillage radio of the Nazis. So they were using it to really be able to be heard by the resistance.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song. It's about it's a beautiful sad song.
Okay.
It's about war.
Let's go.
Entends-tu le vol noir des corbeaux sur nos plaines? Ami, entends-tu ces cris sourds des pays qu'on enchaîne? Oh, et partisans, ouvriers et paysans, c'est l'alarme. Ce soir, l'ennemi connaîtra le prix du sang et des larmes. Montez de la mine, descendez des collines, camarades. Sortez de la paille, les fusils, la mitraille et les grenades. Tueur à la balle et au couteau, tu es vite. Oh, et saboteur, attention à ton fardeau, dynamite. Qui brisons les barreaux des prisons pour nos frères. La haine à nos trousses et la faim qui nous pousse, la misère. Il y a des pays où les gens au creux des lits font des rêves. Et nous on tue, nous on crève. Si chacun sait ce qu'il veut, ce qu'il fait quand il passe. Ami, si tu tombes, un ami sort de l'ombre à ta place. Demain du sang noir séchera au grand soleil sur les routes. Chantez compagnons, dans la nuit la liberté vous écoute. Ami, entends-tu le vol noir des corbeaux sur nos plaines?
Excellent. Very good. That was Marion Saliba. Now, if you can come over and sit back down with us, if you wish, while we will do for like 3 minutes or so, what's going to happen next? And it's the next chapter.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
As we were, so the next chapter of your story. So, the future. What do you have plans for the future, or are you the sort of person who doesn't make plans?
No, I stopped making plans. We want more art. We want some more project, a bit crazy to mix art. Mm-hmm. Beside that, there is no plan.
Right. So very bohemian.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But you're not planning to go anywhere else anytime soon. Take up a corporate job in, I don't know, in Switzerland or somewhere.
No.
You're going to stick around.
I want to remain in Romania.
Playing your music.
If I can,
and your
my
art.
Full life.
Yeah? Uh-huh. And so you mentioned when you first touched down at Otopen and you felt home. Mm. Have you any idea why?
I think, I think I know. The the country is very alive. Balkan in general, mm-hmm. countries are very alive, but Romania in plus is very sweet, mm-hmm. and people are really primitor, welcoming.
Welcoming, yes, exactly, yes.
Sorry.
That's true.
I mix, at home we mix three languages, and I don't know anymore how to talk one pure language.
I don't know the difference between them any longer, really. It's crazy how that happens. And so that was it's the people. Basically, it's the people.
Yes, okay. It's the people.
Once the people show you the landscape and the cities and the beautiful things that there are here, then you really get to know it. I was here for 3 months. I didn't know any local people, so I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
And then I discovered the local people.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm not leaving. I'm home.
Yeah.
So I know exactly how you feel, and it's about the people that you meet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is home.
And the things that they show you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned that on Saturday. We want to sort of basically go out with another plug for Saturday's gig, right? At Zadar Bar with Juan Carlos Negrete, right? You've got to go and see it. You don't need to buy tickets. Just show up, but show up early because
Absolutely.
It gets crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You mentioned there's some tableau that you did for this as well.
Ah, yes, I forgot to say. For this song, the last song, mm-hmm. I was thinking, I will sing it is in French. No one will understand nothing. And I was thinking, I have to write somewhere the lyrics.
Yeah.
And last weekend, I was painting a tableau to be able to write the lyrics on it. So it will be exposed. They don't know yet.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say to Zadar I will come with a tableau, but we'll find somewhere to put it.
They have walls.
Yeah, they have walls. I have as well some tableau in the Museo Judician mm-hmm. Arges in Pitești.
All right. Uh-huh. So you're exhibited.
Yes. I like naive art.
Right, yeah. Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
so good. And I haven't seen it anywhere else but here.
No, it is mm-hmm. it is a big community. But it's true that in Eastern Europe, is the heart of the art.
Heart of the art. There we go. There's the slogan. Let's get that on a T-shirt. The heart of the art. Yeah. Copyright Marion Saliba. Now, thank you very much. Lovely story. We're out of time. We're going to go out with your final piece of music. Don't forget to go to Zadar Bar on Saturday, right? And by the way, before I forget, thank you to Adi, who set up the sound so that you heard so clearly the beautiful songs that Marion sang. Now, you're going to go out with Agnes Obel. Tell me more about this.
Again, it's just an aesthetic choice. She's not very well known. We don't hear her so much on radio, but she's a beautiful songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's aesthetic choice.
Simple as that. Yeah.
Simply.
Thank you very much, Marion Saliba. This has been Expat Life.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Spelled out on the
fresh ideas.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.